Who's Talking on Richmond Sports Radio 910. Diehard Wahoo Frank Maloney and former UVA basketball standout Jim Hobgood break down the Cavaliers each week by bringing you inside the game and behind the scenes with all-star interviews and classic Hobbo humor. Who's Talking is brought to you by Ortho Virginia, Moore's Volvo, LeClaire Ryan, the Virginia Athletics Foundation, CapTech Consulting, TheSaber.com, Hildrup Moving and Storage, Kelleher Heating and Air, Richmond Allergy and Asthma Associates, Zacharias Ganey Health Institute, and La Mer Restaurant. Now, Who's Talking is on Sports Radio 910. Here's Frank and Jim.
Good evening, Wahoos and ACC sports fans. This is Frank Maloney with my co-host, Jim Hobgood. Hey, Hobbo.
Good evening.
Looking back, Saturday's contest began as a free-for-all for the Wahoo football team. They played a pretty good first half, even took the lead going into half, and then things went south fast. Tough game down in Durham. We'll analyze the Cavaliers' struggles and look for some positives. The Hoos are now 2-4, and they need to regroup fast. The second half of the season is upon us. Maryland will be in Scott Stadium this Saturday. Huge game. Homecomings, 3 p.m. kickoff. UVA had best find a way to win this one.
Yeah, this one, and then another home game with Wake Forest the following Saturday, which I think the kickoff time's 12:30. Did that come out today? I think I saw that.
Leaked out today.
But anyway, this is Hobbo. We have another really good show tonight, even though the news is not particularly good, but the show is going to be good. We have Coach Mike London with us. We didn't necessarily want to have him with us on a four-game losing streak. We'll look at it. This is the beginning of a winning streak.
So, yes, you know, there you go, Hobbo.
So we'll keep it positive. And then Coach London will probably join us the second half hour, bottom of the hour. Recruiting analyst from the Saber, Chris Horn, one of our frequent guests, is going to be with us here momentarily to talk about the 2013 recruiting class. And then our injury report tonight will be our guest will be Dr. Vince Dalton of Ortho Virginia, talking about some of the Cavalier injuries, which are a lot of lower leg, hamstring type stuff that you often get in football. There are a number of ways to follow the show, and our friend Chris Sill is going to tell you how to do that right now.
All right, guys, Who's Talking is streaming live on sportsradio910.com and thesaber.com. So we encourage everyone, post comments on Facebook, search Who's Talking, and become a fan. All previous shows are archived on thesaber.com. Or if you're old-fashioned, go ahead and call in to 345-0910. We encourage fans to download the iHeartRadio app or listen live on your smartphone. Your comments are welcome.
Well, gentlemen, 2-4, that's not exactly what we had hoped for or expected, to be honest, at this point in time. I think a lot of people, if we were 4-2, a lot of folks would have probably thought, well, that, you know, makes sense. But unfortunately, it's been kind of a disappointing first half of the season. And, you know, not only disappointing that we have four losses, but there are four losses in a row. And the way we're losing is the other factor.
The last two games, Virginia has outgained the opponent. However, poor special teams play and just too many turnovers.
And penalties. Well, not so much penalties this Saturday, but before.
No real penalties this week. But the previous week, lots of penalties. And you almost had to wonder who that umpire was. He was flag happy against Virginia's offensive line. But it is what it is, as they say. And, you know, I think in worst case scenario, I just didn't see Virginia being anything worse than 3-3 at this point. So we're sort of in uncharted territory. The defense is having a hard time sustaining any kind of consistency. Like we said, special teams has been a struggle. And clearly on offense, it's been hot, cold halves. One good half, you know, over 300 yards of offense, but only 17 points. I mean, it's a real head-scratcher how you can rack up that much yardage and yet only have 17 points on the board. And that last field goal was almost an excuse-me score in that Virginia, you know, did not call timeout when Duke was lined up to punt with about a minute 40 to go in the half and just sort of let the clock tick down. And then all of a sudden, Duke punts. Virginia is deep in their territory. And then a handoff to Kevin Parks nets out a 35-yard run. Sims throws a nice ball over the middle on a nice pass play. I think that was E.J. Scott maybe. And before you know it, Virginia's knocking on the door, and with just a few seconds remaining, they kick a field goal from about 40 yards. And I was like, that was the most head-scratching sequence of clock management I've seen in a long time. The field goal was nice, but it was everything that preceded it seemed a little shaky to me.
Yeah. Well, it's just been difficult. And I'm sure the atmosphere over in the football coaching office right now is not real good. So they're trying to figure out how they can get the ship turned around and headed in the right direction. And as we say, the next 2 weeks really critical from the standpoint of trying to salvage anything. You know, I guess the original hope for the season was to somehow figure out a way to get six wins.
Seven.
Well, I would take six right now.
Yeah, you would. But I'm saying the goal was seven. I think most people had labeled seven being a fairly reasonable win total, if you will.
But, yeah. Certainly, had we been at 4-2 right now instead of 2-4, that would be very plausible.
All right. I think it's time to bring on our first guest, Chris Horn with the Saber. He's been a great ally of the show and has really provided excellent commentary on an analysis of the recruiting trails that are out there and the commitments and the prospects and, you know, all the goings on. And anyhow, Chris, are you there?
I'm here.
Chris, thank you for joining us tonight. Strange to be in this situation, the football team, but
yeah, give us a little cause for hope, Chris.
However, we know that hope is on the way with, I think, 18 commitments. Give us the highlights.
Right. It's definitely a young team, and the class that Virginia has committed in the class of 2013 is a talented one. And a few of the headliners, Taquan Smoke-Mizell, who's a 5'10", 185-pound running back out of Bayside High School in Virginia Beach. Outstanding runner and receiver, big-time playmaker. He certainly, when you think of the class, comes to mind. He's Virginia's only five-star commitment. Rivals.com has him as a five-star player. So he's a guy that has the ability to really break a big one. And as I mentioned, he's kind of got that same skill set as a Perry Jones, except I think obviously with his speed and his quickness, I think he has the upside the potential to be even better than Perry is, but that's definitely a highlight for me. I know coming into the class, linebacker was pretty key, and I really like the three linebackers they have committed, especially Micah Kaiser, who's a middle linebacker type, could also play outside linebacker out of a Gilman School in Baltimore, which is one of the top schools, high school football programs in the state of Maryland. LeChaston Smith, who's out of North Carolina, real speed. Speed linebacker. I think he'll certainly help add more of the speed to that group, and he's a guy that is hoping to enroll early. So hopefully, the benefit of being with spring practice, I think he and Kaiser have the potential to maybe see the field next year in some sort of role. And then Zach Bradshaw, who's a player out of Damascus, Maryland, where Brandon Phelps, who's the current starting safety, attended, a guy who could play. A guy I like a lot just because he's a real versatile guy. He makes a lot of plays on offense, special teams, kind of wherever you put him, kind of just one of those football players, but is going to start out at outside linebacker at Virginia. So those are kind of really certainly two areas that really stand out to me.
Now, Bradshaw was committed, I think, to Penn State maybe?
Right, yeah, he committed to Penn State before the sanctions were laid down. Virginia was right in the mix, but then he started having second thoughts after that. And ultimately decided to go to Virginia. He's good friends with Brendan Marshall, who's a quarterback commitment out of Good Counsel. That's not exactly why he committed, but obviously he just felt comfortable with the coaching staff, and certainly it was a big benefit to Virginia to get a player like him, who had, as you mentioned earlier, committed earlier to Penn State.
Now, the interesting thing about Bradshaw is my sources up in Northern Virginia, D.C., that follow football recruiting, They tell me that he's been playing some wide receiver as well, and they think that he might be the steal of the class. Now, granted, Smoke Mizell is the star, and Tim Harris from Verona is a terrific defensive back. Mm-hmm. But I am told that Bradshaw may end up being one of those guys that people just can't believe. He's apparently faster. He runs faster than football speed, if you will. I don't know what else. What have you heard about him?
As I mentioned, he's just kind of one of those guys that is just a football player. No matter where you put him, he makes plays. Kind of like Anthony Cooper was in last year's class. Anthony really hasn't seen the field that much in terms of offense, defense this year, although he is seeing action on special teams as a true freshman. But yeah, but as you mentioned, Frank, Zach, his team is undefeated this year, and he just in following his team's progress, he just makes plays all in several different areas. He's had a kickoff return for a touchdown. Not too many 6'3", 200-pound punt returners and kickoff returners, but he's actually had a good. He's had, I believe, a punt return for a touchdown and a kick return for a touchdown. You mentioned, obviously, his receiving skills. He's got some receiving touchdowns in there. I believe he does have a defensive touchdown as well. So that kind of just speaks to his ability. And as a runner, you mentioned him as a receiver. He just seems to have a natural feel. As I mentioned, you normally see those 6'3", 200-pound guys, and maybe his 40 isn't as fast as some others, but in terms of just that football speed, the game speed, I think he definitely has that, and just kind of a knack for being able to make the right moves at the right time, and just and obviously break big plays.
Yeah,
those three linebackers are crucial because, according to the folks that track this stuff night and day, this was a big position of need. I think even the Virginia coaching staff has mentioned that, haven't they?
I'm not sure if they addressed it specifically, but I know clearly heading into this class, I mean, just look at the roster breakdown, and it certainly screams out to you that linebacker was a big need. And, they got some good guys last year. Dimitri Brehm has obviously seen the field, and Quanti Moore and those guys. But they definitely needed some three quality ones, and they definitely got it. I think these guys are real quality players.
Yeah, we're visiting with the Sabres, Chris Horn. And, Chris, we may have another minute or two before we have to go to break. But how many slots do we have left in the class of 2013, and what are they looking for?
Not too many in terms of there's maybe two or three. This stuff can always be fluid, so nothing really surprises me if they go even four. But the main position it seems like they're looking at is offensive line. They hosted Sean Curtis, who's out of Orlando, Florida, on an official visit earlier this month. Tevin Montgomery, who's also a potential defensive tackle out of Massachusetts, is still very much on their radar. And Jared Jones-Smith out of Pennsylvania is a player that they're also looking at. So it looks like, I would say offensive line is definitely an area that they're looking at with the remaining scholarships. And again, maybe I would say two at most, but that can be fluid.
You know, Chris, talking about those two players up at Fork Union, Terrell Chavis and defensive end Max Vales, what is their status? I know you've been writing about them frequently. What is your take on how they fit in?
Tyrell is a guy I really like as a defensive tackle, although he could play offense as well. I think he could definitely play either one, but I just haven't seen him a couple times at Verona when he played there. He just is such a playmaker on the defensive line. I think he would be a great fit at D-tackle there. He's a case academically. He's going to have basically do everything right, everything he needs to do for the full year that he's at Fork Union, get his SATs up, and his classroom work has to be where it needs to be. So he's going to be kind of a down-to-the-wire type situation, whereas Max is a guy who should the expectation is that he's going to make it. He doesn't have far to go, but he's a guy out of New Jersey. He was the Philly Inquirer, I believe, South Jersey Defensive Player of the Year as a defensive end. Tight end kind of was the initial thinking for him, and that's a position that Virginia could use another player. But as far as defensive end, he's a guy that I know in talking to Coach Schumann that he really likes him a lot as a defensive end in terms of. He actually called him. He believes he could maybe be another Darryl Blackstock in the pipeline if that's where he were to play. But two very good players, and I'm always a big fan of Coach Schumann. I think any players that can go through his program and get there, they usually turn out pretty well.
You know, between Jack English over at St. Christopher's and these two players at Fork Union, these guys can tackle somebody, and if they can, maybe they'll make room for them on the team immediately next year.
Well, Frank's getting a little cynical here.
I know Max coming in. I know. Well, tight end was kind of the position I think that he was eyeing, and I think again, I think he could definitely play because there's definitely a need for him there. But yeah, I think they're two guys. If they can both make it, they have that extra post grad year. I think certainly helps out And, you know, I wouldn't be surprised to see them maybe seeing some action that following year, because Coach Heumann does a great job with those guys in the weight room, not just in the classroom, but obviously in the weight room and developing them physically as well as academically and mentally.
Chris, give us a 30-second summary of what might happen before the end of the recruiting period, and then give us one or two names for the class of 2014.
Well, as far as I mentioned, I think they'd like to add another offensive line just in terms of what some of the players they're looking at. Virginia's in the top three with Tevin Montgomery, who I mentioned earlier, who's also looking at Vanderbilt and, I believe, Rutgers. So they're also looking at Deshaun Hamilton, who's a receiver, defensive back out of Mountain View in the state of Virginia. So I would see them adding another one to two players in this class. But, you know, as far as they're not the clear favorite for any of those guys, but those are some names to remember. 2014, Virginia's already on the board with one commitment, a defensive tackle, Chris Nelson out of Florida. Andrew Brown is out of Oscar Smith, where obviously Phil Sims attended, is a guy that is one of the tops in the country. Virginia's in solid shape with him, certainly one of the schools to watch out for. Quinn Blanding out of Bayside. Virginia's done a great job recruiting Bayside, and he's one of the top safeties in the country. Obviously, a lot of competition for those two players, but you know, Virginia's also got some guys already in the fold that are friends with those guys that you know, who knows, maybe that can help them out as well.
All right, Chris, we thank you as always. We got to go to our first break here, but Chris Horn from the Sabre joins us. We'll have you back soon to update football and maybe talk a little basketball recruiting as well.
Yeah, looking forward to it. Thanks, guys.
Thanks, Chris.
All right, we're going to go to our first break now. After these messages, we'll return with the LeClaire Ryan play of the game. Stay with us.